The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 10, which, if you have a pew Bible that you're following, a church Bible, it can be found on page 1177. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Last year, I put out a note in the news sheet saying, if anyone had a particular request of a topic they wanted covered in our preaching programme, to let us know. And somebody said, could we please have a sermon on spiritual warfare? And being a good sort, I said, OK. Unfortunately, I realised this week that they said, could we have a sermon on that at 9 or 10:30? But it wasn't going to fit. So I have emailed them and said, thanks to the ones of the internet, you can hear it at 6:30 on our website. So, it's got the title, Life is a Battle. But I wonder if any of you is on the internet, which most of us are, I wonder if you realise that we are under constant attack. It's not something I ever really think about. It's not something I'm very conscious of. But I should have talked to Rick Simpson on the sound desk before the service. But our old website had to be taken down because we were attacked again and again and again by hackers. How many times in 1 week? Is it 10 times in 1 week it went down? Over a couple of weeks. And the thing was, we were trying to develop a new website, but it wasn't possible because Rick spent so long getting the old one back up again that he didn't have time to work on the new one, because then they took it down again. And then we put it up again, they took it down again. And all the time, there was this hack attack on our church website. So in the end, we said, OK, forget the old one, we'll go offline and we'll develop the new one in the meantime. Now, that shouldn't have been a surprise to me, although it was, because I remember a long time ago, something like 17 years ago, I went to visit the offices of Arab World Ministries in Worthing, which is where we were living at the time. And I'm not terribly techy. Again, I should talk to someone like Vicky Rolfe who could explain it to me. But somebody showed me how many attacks their firewall was taking from people in the Muslim world who were trying to take their website down, because they did not want Christians to be sharing the good news of Jesus with unreached Muslims of the Arab world. And they showed me the sort of back end, I don't understand this, but the back end of the system. And you could see all these attacks coming in that people were trying to take their website down. Now, I would just never think of something like that. Probably people who work in computing do. I'm just conscious that I need to be protected on my home computer so I don't lose all my data. So I have an antivirus product. And it tells me, you are protected. And every so often it gives me a little report saying, we destroyed a virus in that last email that you received. Or we've destroyed so many malware attempts in the last month or whatever. However, I still need to be vigilant. Yes, I am protected. But I still get emails that I need to be careful about. This one showing me a picture of Anna Kournikova, that was the famous one, never clicked on that. Offering me a tax rebate, you know that's not true. Why do you click on it? A Kuwaiti widow, there's so many Kuwaiti widows with so much money and they all want to give it to me. I am so blessed. But the one I get most often is, because my personal email address ends in BT Internet, they know I'm with BT, and so it says, "Dear customer, your latest BT bill has arrived. Click on this link to see it." And I get those several times a month, so it's amazing just how many bills I keep getting. But obviously, it's phishing. It's a scam. All the time, someone out there is attacking us. But we don't think about it. We don't generally even notice it. We aren't aware of it. But we are under attack, and we need to be vigilant. And we need to be protected, of course. And spiritual warfare, it seems to me, is just like that. If you're a Christian, there is a malevolent power, I believe, the Bible says, which is engaged in conflict with God. And because we're Christians, we will be part of that warfare. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, we just heard it read, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, most of the time, my antivirus software is protecting me wonderfully, but I have to be vigilant. God is protecting me the whole time. The Holy Spirit with me is protecting me, but I have to be vigilant. I have to be aware. In a passage we often quote on Alpha, C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, Letters of a Senior Demon to a Junior Demon, said this: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." And that's been my experience too. There are some people who get a bit too interested in the dark side of things. They get fascinated by stories of the occult and of demons and possession and would like more of those or to share those. And their eyes light up when they talk about them. And somebody asked me if we could have a sermon on the occult. And I decided, no, we couldn't, because that's not something I want to spend a sermon looking at, because it's focusing on the darkness. On the picture is a photograph. It's mostly dark. You could say, oh my goodness, isn't that dark? Look, it's pouring with rain somewhere. But actually, the main focus of the picture is there's a rainbow. You can moan about the rain, you can focus on the darkness, but far better to look at the rainbow and say, isn't that glorious? Equally, I know some Christians who get worried about all this, get a bit paranoid. There was one lady, Heather and I once knew, who said, "Every morning I make sure that I put my armour on," you know, reflecting that passage that we heard read, "and because I know if I don't, I'm going to have a bad day." I think, no, that's like reading your horoscope. That's not trusting in God. You know, you don't need to obsess about, have I done this, have I done this, have I done this. God is with us. God is protecting us. And Paul, in his letter, does tell us about the powers of darkness, does tell us about the evil spiritual forces against us, but his focus is not that. And if you look at the passage, that's one verse. Actually, what he's talking about is the armor. That is his focus. That's his concern. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. His aim is that we stand, not that we look at the darkness. And just to expand a little on that C.S. Lewis quote, other people are more skeptical. I think, oh, come on. I mean, how in this day and age can you believe in evil or a devil or anything like that? It's just sort of old-fashioned and a bit superstitious. But the thing is, actually, if we are Christians, we follow Christ. We follow Jesus. And Jesus had an awful lot to say about a spiritual force of darkness. He said, this is your model prayer. When you pray, this is how you should pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from, and you can translate that either evil or the evil one. Whichever way, Jesus believed there was evil out there. Jesus believed there was an evil one out there and said, you need protection. Pray for protection for yourself. And he talked about the fact that when he is coming and sharing the good news, when we go out and share the good news, as we were thinking about this morning at our 10:30 service, Those along the path are ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And 93 times Jesus refers to the devil or demons or evil. It's a big theme in his preaching. He talks about it far more than he talks about prayer, for instance. Might have come as quite a surprise. But clearly Jesus thought that this was something that we should take seriously, that we should be vigilant. And just finally, to convince us of this, just think of your own experience. I mean, do we not all experience temptation? Thoughts that I do not want. Lustful thoughts, or angry thoughts, or malicious thoughts, or envious thoughts, or thoughts of pride. They come in and I think, where did that come from? Why did I think that? I don't want to think that. I know I don't want to think that, but it's come in there anyway. And the danger is that it lodges there. And I have to think, no, I'm not going to think that way. But equally, temptation comes, more often temptation comes as something I don't recognize as bad. Paul talks about the fact that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And the nature of most temptation is it doesn't come waving a red flag going, ha ha, I'm out to get you. Because if it does, you go, oh, that's temptation. I'm not supposed to do that, so I won't. Rather, temptation comes as saying, you want me, don't you? It'll make you happy, wouldn't it? This is surely the best thing for you. So I've told the story many times on Alpha of the vicar's wife, who doesn't have a salary, and goes down to Bentles and sees this glorious dress there, knows they can't afford it, but thinks, oh, I could just try it on. And that doesn't do any harm. I'm not going to buy it. I can't buy it because we can't afford it. I'll just try it on. So she tries it on, and it looks gorgeous in the mirror. And a little voice says in her head says, go on, get it. You deserve it. You want it. He won't mind. Help yourself for once. And suddenly she realized, this is temptation. I shouldn't be doing this. So she says out loud, get behind me, Satan. A little voice in her ear says, looks lovely from the back as well. The danger is not that we fall for bad things, because that's a bad thing. I don't want to do that. What we fall for is a good thing that's not God's thing. It seems good to us. When churches are split, it's not because people think, right, I'm going to split the church. It's because they say, no, I know what's best. They're stupid. And the other lot think exactly the same. Each thinks they're right. Each thinks they're doing what God wants. We all experience temptation. And what we need to do is get aligned with God so we recognize it's temptation and don't fall for it. Equally, doubt. That's the way the devil works, by planting seeds of doubt and accusation. The serpent said to the woman, did God really say in Genesis 3? And the devil said to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread, throw yourself off the temple, worship me. If you know, you've had this baptism experience, but hey, how do you know it's real? And surely if Jesus experienced that, we should expect that we will as well. It's not asking questions, saying, is that right? You know, should we believe that? That's fine, that's good. But it's lacking trust in God, that God is good. And maybe it can come through others. You know, in both those instances, it's a thought that comes from outside. How can you believe in God when you look at this? How can you believe in God when this has happened in your life? Or ridicule from other people? Or am I right to feel in God? Am I right to do this? Because I don't feel anything. That's the kind of doubt that Jesus experienced. Is that really right? Is this really God? Or am I just making this up? Is it just my imagination? I think all of us can be prone to that at times. And then the third one is distraction. Jesus said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and the seeds do not mature. And I say, don't you? I know so many people who started out in the Christian life, who've been in my church, and then other things have gotten in the way, good things often, family or job, or study of the Vikings, or they crowd out the church. They crowd out small group. They crowd out prayer. They crowd out Bible study. I am prone to it as much as anyone. So, oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. Haven't had time to read my Bible. Haven't had time to pray. Well, never mind. I'll catch up later. Distraction. And they can be good things, important things. And that, you know, it's okay for a time. But we have to make sure. We have to keep pulling ourselves back. Because what happens is when we get off the path a little way, the path keeps going further and further away. And we need to keep bringing ourselves back. And making sure that, notice it's worries, yeah, not a great thing. Riches, well, that's quite a good thing. Pleasures, that's a really good thing. They are the things that fill the space in our lives that God should be taking. And so the seed withers and dies. So all of us are prone to doubt and distraction and temptation. And that is spiritual warfare. Not kind of Abraham Lincoln vampire slayer stuff. Calvin Miller, brilliant writer and speaker, says he's not the wrecking ball destroyer whose destruction of your life is huge and obvious. He is the Lord of the termites, whose unseen decay makes Pharisees seem alive when they're only the hollow dead. In other words, it's those little things that eat away in the darkness, that undermine our faith. And suddenly one day you wake up and like, there's nothing left. It's just a hollow shell. What happened to my faith? So the key is to be vigilant, but not obsessed. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. To give an illustration, many of you know that last year I had a tumor removed from my leg. This is just before the operation when they helpfully draw the arrow to say, that's the one. I mean, there's only one huge lump on one leg. I don't see how they could have made a mistake, but, you know, it's nice to know that they're going to go to the right leg. And following the operation, my leg muscle was wasted and there was a lot of pain in my leg. And so the natural thing is you think, my poor leg, I need to rest. I need to get rid of this pain. How do I get rid of the pain? And the answer is, for a non-medical person like me, counterintuitive. What you do is you have to exercise it. You have to be a bit tough with it. Not just put it up on the sofa and say, oh, poor leg, look after yourself. But actually, get out and strengthen those muscles. And that's what we have to do with spiritual warfare. Not focus on the bad stuff. Think, oh dear, there's bad stuff. Oh, this temptation, this doubt, whatever. I must focus on that and work out what to do with it. That's looking in the wrong place. That's giving it credit where credit is not due. What we need to do is instead exercise the good stuff. Fill it instead with our life instead, our mind instead, with good things. So Paul talks about a helmet of salvation, knowing we are saved, knowing how much God has done for us. The way he's rescued us means we're forgiven, we're adopted, we're loved, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're destined for glory, we're God's masterpiece, we're seated in heavenly places. That's just a few of the Bible's promises. Do we know that? Because if I know all those things, you know, the head is the place of knowledge. If my mind is full of all that stuff, I am much less likely to be tempted to do the wrong stuff. Because I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm this. So our minds are full of the truth of God. Then he talks about a breastplate of righteousness. That means holiness or goodness or doing what God wants, pleasing God, being renewed in our minds, Romans 12, not squeezed into the world's mold, taking every thought captive for Christ. These are all biblical images for what we do, having integrity in our lives. Heather, my wife, has found mindfulness very helpful. And we've actually had someone leave the church because we had classes in Christian mindfulness of someone who hired the building. They said, oh, it's Buddhist. You shouldn't have anything to do with mindfulness. It's Buddhist. Well, actually, Paul thought of it long before. Because what it is, it's saying, take every thought captive. But it's doing it for Christ, if you're a Christian. It's saying, what am I thinking right now? Jesus should be at the center of this. So the more I'm doing that, the more I'm focusing on Jesus, concentrating on the good stuff, then the less room that the bad stuff has to wheedle its way in and lead me astray. Take up the shield of faith, Paul says. And faith is not intellectual assent. I believe that there's a God. James says, do you believe that there's God? That's great. So does the devil. No, but it's trusting in God, believing that the promises that he makes in Scripture are true, and they're true for you. Having confidence in him, looking to him for help and for strength. And that way, Paul says, you can repel the fiery darts of the enemy. A dear friend of ours went through so much suffering. She lost her husband to a brain tumor. Her son had a brain tumor and died as well. Her house suffered subsidence. And a friend who was not a Christian said, how can you have faith at a time like this? And she said, you know, there's that is the temptation. Well, how? You know, God's not obviously not on your side. But it's knowing that God is good. And so she said, actually, you know, it's at times like this when my faith is the most precious thing for me. Trusting in God, that's the shield which bats away the darts of the enemy. And then Paul talks about putting on the belt of truth and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. The more we know our Bible, the more we read it, the more we study it, the more we listen to it, the more we learn it, the more we live by it, so the stronger we will be. The better protected we will be, because we'll recognize truth and know what's a lie. And so, you know, it's good to listen to sermons. That's great. I'm thrilled that you're here tonight. I'm thrilled you're listening to this. But actually, that's not going to fill your life with Scripture. And there are so many wonderful ways now to fill your mind with Scripture, thanks to the internet. You know, the fact that on my phone I can just open up my Bible app and read the Bible. If I want to, it will send me a verse every day. It thanks me, actually. It says, Simon Cooperland, you've connected with God's Word for 17 days in a row now. Well done. So the more we fill our mind with truth, the more we fill our life with Scripture, then the less foothold the enemy can get to dislodge us and to distract us and to destroy our faith. And finally, Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. There you are. Be vigilant. And keep on praying for all the saints. Now, I talked about this last week, so I'm not going to talk about it again tonight. But praying in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, opening our lives to the Holy Spirit, who can speak to us and guide us and challenge us and encourage us, and letting God set the agenda rather than setting it ourselves. But I noticed this, and it's something I didn't focus on last week, so I'm just going to pick it up to finish tonight. Always keep on praying for all the saints. You see, the great thing about being in a battle is that we're not on our own in the battle. And the Romans had this wonderful thing called a tortoise, a testudo, where they all linked shields together. And I actually took this photograph that's on the screen. We saw a group of reenactors having spears thrown at them. And they did actually, it worked. They bounced off. And because they've got shields in front, shields beside, and shields on the top. If you're a soldier standing on your own, and in particular, if you've had to turn away, no one's got your back. But if there's a group of you together, you can each protect one another. Together, we are strong. That's why it's good to pray for a new vicar ourselves, by ourselves. But it's also good to come together on Tuesday and pray together. It's also good to get together in small groups and pray together. Even more so, that's why it's good to have an accountability buddy. Someone not of the opposite sex, but someone who is a friend who you can share with, who you can be honest with and say, do you know what? These are the temptations I'm struggling with. These are the doubts I'm facing. These are the distractions that are leading me astray. Or if you even get to that point, who can say to you, do you know what? You know, have you thought that particular thing in your life might be a distraction at the moment? You have to be really good friends to do that, or a real pain. And you say, do you know what? You're right. Yes, you're right. Because standing together, we've got each other's back. Standing together, we are so much stronger. Standing together, we can protect each other. And so having someone that we can pray with and share with who we're accountable to is a glorious and wonderful gift. So, spiritual warfare. Yes, it's a fact of the Christian life, but it's not scary unless we focus on the warfare and on the enemy rather than focusing on God and the protection that he has given us. We are protected. We just need to be vigilant.